Okay, we're going to start off in Romans 6:4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So as we picture a new year, we see what the world pictures due to TV, social media, old acquaintance be forgot, etc. The world tries to imagine a new year by forgetting the bad things that happened last year and turning over a new leaf. Starting fresh, as one would put it. Some of us will do the exact same things that we did last year with a little bit of a twist, like my job included. We pretty much do the same thing every year, and my work is mainly based on holidays and flu seasons. The repetitiveness can get overwhelming. So Sig back in the day mentioned in several messages about the newness of life, or walking in the newness of life. As a kid, I always loved new words, and the way Sig said it, it resonated because of his accent. What was this newness? It was difficult to understand as a kid. So Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. When we chose to believe Jesus was the Son of God, we received salvation. We decided to get baptized. We went to church. We did all the things we see other Christians do. We also asked the whys and took everything into account. We wanted to know why this person or that person put their hope in God. All of this was new to us. Now I'm going to jump back a few days to illustrate God's intention for us. So if you guys want to turn to Luke 2, 8 through 20, Luke 2, 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. God chose to reveal his good news to shepherds. I think he did this because he closely relates to them. David was also a shepherd, and he had one of the closest relationships to God in the entire Bible other than Jesus. Those shepherds didn't hesitate to find Jesus in the manger and thereafter share the good news with everyone they saw. They spread the good news everywhere. This good news was meant for us to make our joy in him complete. He desperately desires to have a relationship with us, one that is personal, one that puts our anxieties to rest, one that acknowledges he will take care of all our needs. David writes in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Now sheep, which I kind of looked up, are kind of skittish when they get scared. They've even been known to faint. So David said, God forces us to lie down in green pastures. Does that sound like a God? Does that sound like a God who wants us to suffer? No. God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us so we could have peace with him no matter what the circumstance. So I'll share a story with you guys about the other night. I got woken up at 2:30 a.m. because my alarm at the store was going off because of a power outage. They make us drive down there to ensure the store is okay. I was so mad when I got up. I was seeing red because it was the day after Christmas and I had to be in at 7 a.m. Stephanie went with me, and to top it off, on the way there, I plowed into a boulder in the canyon because it was raining and boulders are everywhere all over the canyon. It blew out my tire. So we're on the side of the road waiting for the tow truck to come, and deep down inside, God told me, I've allowed this to happen for a reason. Now, I know God wants us to rejoice in our suffering, so at that point, I just had to accept that he wanted me there for a reason. Well, all said and done, the tow truck guy came, couldn't fix my tire, and the guy offered to tow us to our mechanic and drive us home, so we wouldn't have to waste one of our tows because of AAA. And Stephanie and I had a good conversation with him, and he was a blessing to us. When things happen that we can't understand, go to God immediately. Jesus is our counselor and comforter. He will give us rest and tell us to move when we have to move. Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'll tell you, at 2 a.m., my old self was pushing through, but God sure did take care of us. My desire for myself and all of us this new year is to have that deeper desire to get to know God in a more personal way. How well do we know him? Is his joy exuding from us? That's a telltale sign of how our relationship with him is going. 1 Peter 2:2-3. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. So when we consider David and his relationship with God, we see a close and personal one. David was after God's own heart. He loved God. But we also see the effects of sin in David's life. Because of his sin, David was worried about his relationship with God. He knew he had messed up and wanted to make it right. He was willing to pay for the consequences for his actions so he could continue to have that close relationship with God. And we can turn to 2 Samuel 12:1-14. 2 Samuel 12:1-14. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man. and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives in your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." Now David, he acknowledged his sin and God forgave him. But there were consequences for his actions that affected a lot of people. But we see David in the rest of this chapter truly be sorry for what he did and not sway from his path of redemption, even though his sin caused a lot of things to go wrong in his life. He was humble before God and took the steps in his life to change and actively do what God told him to do. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Now David knew God and had a close relationship with him, as we can attest to in the Psalms that were written. Years of tending sheep and being the youngest in a family of boys taught David to be humble. He wasn't his father's first pick, he wasn't Samuel's first pick, but he was God's. In David, God saw a very young man who had a servant's heart, one who faithfully served in the fields tending sheep, one willing to run errands back and forth to his brothers on the battle lines. David faithfully served and helped those who didn't appreciate it. David wanted to make, wasn't out to make a name for himself, but when the time arose, he also wasn't about to allow God's name be trampled on and disgraced. David learned to be humble when he needed to be humble, but he also learned God-given strength out in the fields with the sheep. He knew when to take a stand and had the courage to do so. Psalms 78, 70, and 72. Psalms 78, 70, and 72. "He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep's pen, from tending the sheep he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them." We see God doing the same thing in our lives on a daily basis, because our great shepherd loving us because we are his children and not allowing us to stray too far. So going forward for this new year, I would like to get to know God better and deal with bad situations with his mind and heart. The good news the shepherds heard about is in this Bible we hold in front of us, and the Savior they found lives in our hearts. Let us then go forward and acknowledge he is there and talk to him. He is always there and is ready to listen to our concerns and is there to accept our praise. So to conclude, Psalms 100. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.